This morning we'd like to look at the 43rd Psalm, verse 5, in which we really have a cure for depression. David said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" In putting it in a modern vernacular, you might translate it, "Why are you so depressed? Why are you so filled with anxieties?" We live in a pressured society. I sometimes wonder, when God created the human body, He did create it with marvelous capacities of adaptation. But I wonder if God really intended us to travel as fast as we travel today. If God really intended that we should have available all of the information and have to process all of the information that we have today. No wonder the systems are overloaded and overworked. But living in this kind of a society places us under many pressures. Pressures that we find it difficult to deal with. And when we find ourselves unable to cope with the pressures, then the resultant depression or anxiety. I think of the pressures of the interpersonal relationships. As we go to work, oftentimes we are under pressure from those that are demanding more production, that we produce more than we are capable of producing. And we're always feeling that pressure of having to come through, meeting quotas. Perhaps there's pressures from just other employees on the job that we don't get along with. They don't respect our Christian values. They make fun of our faith in Jesus Christ. And we just find it difficult to be around them 8 hours a day. And thus it's just sort of a heaviness that when we think of having to go to work. Sometimes it's just the neighbors and where we live. The neighbor's kid is on drugs, drives his car like a maniac, and we're afraid that he's going to, you know, run over our children or something. And sometimes the problems in the neighborhood, the kid next door turns on his stereo full blast and leaves it on all night long, and it's hard to sleep, and we would like to get out of the neighborhood, but we can't, and we feel that pressure of wanting to say something, wanting to do something, and yet there's not much that can be done without just creating a ruckus. Sometimes it's pressure right within the home. Marital problems. My wife says she doesn't love me. She didn't. But sometimes wives tell their husbands, "I don't want to live with you anymore. I don't love you anymore." And we have to talk with fellows all the time whose wives have just sort of said, you know, "Get lost. Don't want to see you again." The husband maybe is not coming home, keeping irregular hours, not giving an explanation for his absences. And there's that tension, there's that pressure. And I wonder, how long can I go on with this? I feel like I've exhausted my ability to cope, and I start getting depressed, and I start getting fidgety, and I'm filled with anxiety. It's very easy in this world in which we live. people faced with financial problems. We were just barely making it, and the engine on the car blew up. Now we don't know. I mean, just where in the world can we get the funds to take care of that problem? Just been laid off from work just about the time we were catching up. And now the pressure of seeing the bills mounting. Or I've had an injury and I can't go back to work for a while and I don't know how we're going to make ends meet. Or then that pressure of just, I don't know what to do with my life. I'm just not happy. Somehow life has become sort of an endless grind and I'm not satisfied, I'm not being fulfilled, and I don't see any hope, I don't see any possibility for changes. It looks like things are just going to go on like this, but I can't stand it. I don't want things to go on like this, but I don't know what to do. And I find myself sort of boxed in, and I'm just under the pressure of not able to deal with the issues that have come up. The depression and the anxiety seem to increase when I can't see my way out of the present circumstances. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. All I see is the dark tunnel, and it seems that it's just getting darker. I have tried so hard to find the answers, but they just don't seem to exist. I know that I can't go on living under the present circumstances, but yet I don't know what to do. David's soul was cast down. He was troubled because of the ungodly nations that surrounded him. He was troubled because of deceitful men who have been unfair in dealing with him. He was troubled because he was being oppressed by his enemies. All of these we find in verse 1. And two. And so in the midst of this, David prayed, O God, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Life becomes many times a dark maze. We don't know our way out. We can't see any answers. And then we're faced with that problem that there are always those who are waiting to somehow profit off of our problems and our difficulties. It's sad that there are people who prey upon the problems of others. They're hoping to profit from your misfortune. The loan sharks that will come in, knowing that you're not able to repay the loan, they will loan the money to you anyhow, only demand collateral that is worth far more than the money, and just expecting to pick up very reasonably your diamond rings or your watches or whatever, not loaning you nearly their value, but still going ahead and loaning it just for their own profit. There are those charlatans that will go around and when you're in foreclosure and they'll volunteer to take your house off your hands, save your good credit. And then they'll just go ahead and rent the house and write out the foreclosure, and then, you know, when it's gone, and you're left still with your credit destroyed. But they just are there to prey upon the misfortunes of others. David said, Oh God, I'm mourning because of the oppression of these enemies. You get to the place where you don't know who you can trust. There are those who will promise healings. They'll promise all kinds of miracles. You know, you can go down to Tijuana and be treated for anything. And they'll promise you cures. They'll tell you of how many they've cured, you know, and all. And you're desperate. And so people, but they're there just to, you know, take advantage of your misfortune. They'll enrich themselves off of your problems. Who can you trust? Oh, send out your light, God. Your truth. Let them lead me. Lead me where? Lead me, David said, to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. God, lead me to yourself. Truly, that is the answer. I need to be brought to God, who alone is able to deal with my situation. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so depressed? Why are you so filled with anxiety? And David gives himself the solution to his depression. He said, hope thou in God. How many times I have put my hope in man and I've been disappointed. I've been lied to, cheated, deceived, and defrauded so many times that I hate to think about it. And yet it seems like when problems arise, I look to man or I look to myself, first of all, for the solutions and for the answers. But as we sang, the arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. In Psalm 118, it said, it's better to put your trust in the Lord than your confidence in man. Hope in God. David is commanding himself. Hope in God. Redirect your attention, David, away from your problem and unto God. Away from your weakness and on His strength. And you need to know these things. Number one, God loves you and is in control of the circumstances that surround your life. He watches over His creation, but He gives special attention to His children. You say, well, if God is in control and God loves me, then why is my life such a mess? Why doesn't God help me? As David was crying out, deliver me, send out your light. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He was concerned. God, if you are there, if you're in control, why do I still have these problems? I'm convinced that God wants to work in those circumstances of my life where I have a problem, where I'm facing difficulties. I am convinced that there is help for me in God. But I have often discovered that God doesn't really step in and take over until I get to the end of myself. And when it gets to the place where it is beyond me, where I recognize it's beyond me, where I have come to the absolute limit of my abilities and resources, and I know I can't do any more. It's beyond me. Lord, it's in your hands. That it is often at that place where God begins to work. You see, I am sort of incurably self-righteous. And I really think that I can do it if I would just apply myself sufficiently. I have a lot of confidence in my flesh, and that creates a real problem for me. Because, for instance, I know that I'm heavier than I want to be. A while back, I looked in the mirror and I said, "Chuck, you're too fat and you're a glutton." And so I confessed. I said, "God, I'm a glutton. I love eating. I enjoy eating and I eat too much. And I need to eat less. I need to shed some pounds. I'm carrying more weight than I should. And God, I just can't do it. I just enjoy eating too much. I just can't, you know, resist the temptation. I'm just not able, Lord. I'm just a glutton." And, interestingly enough, I began to lose my appetite. I found that I was able to push myself away from the table without taking the second helping. I was able to cut down on the amounts that I was eating. I was able to say no to the desserts. And I started losing weight. And one day I got on the scale and I was very pleased that I had lost 15 pounds. And I said, "Chuck, I knew you could do it. All you had to do is set your mind to it." You know, when you just get to the place where you finally say, "Okay, I'm not going to take that second help. I knew you could do it." You know what happened? He gave me a couple of bonus beyond the 15 I lost. Why is it that we ask God for help and then we want to take credit when the help arrives? Somehow we want to take the glory. So typical. When the Midianites had invaded the land of Israel, hordes of them covering the earth like grasshoppers, ripping the people off. The Lord said to Gideon, "Gather together the men of Israel and go out against the Midianites and I will fight against them." Gideon gathered the men of Israel together and there were only 32,000 who responded to the call. A pitifully few number in comparison to the hundreds of thousands of Midianites. But God said to Gideon, "Gideon, you've got too many men with you. I know the hearts of these people. If I would deliver the Midianites unto the 32,000, they'd go around boasting in their great power and their fierce fighting ability and all. Go out and tell all of those who are afraid to fight to go home." Gideon went out and said, "Okay, all you guys afraid to fight, go home." 22,000 went home. Two-thirds of his army. God looked over the 10,000 men and said, "Gideon, you still have too many. I know the hearts of these people. If I would deliver the Midianites into the hands of the 10,000, they'd be boasting on what they had done. Take them down to the creek and let them get a drink of water and watch them as they drink. And those that put their face down in the water, send them home." Gideon went down and said, "Okay, fellas, let's get a drink of water." And they all began to put their faces down in the water. 300 knelt and just brought the water up in their cupped hands. And God said, "Okay, through the 300, I'll deliver the Midianites." God made the thing just impossible. in order that when God worked, you could only do one thing, and that is give God the glory. And I think that that's why God sometimes allows our cases to get so desperate, that it's beyond us. We recognize it's hopeless. There's nothing I can do. It's beyond me. And then the Lord steps in. And when He works, I can only acknowledge the hand of God working in my life. Hope thou in God, David told himself. Get your attention upon God. For God loves you. He's watching over you. He's in control. And God is able to take care of this problem. Knowing the ability of God to help. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. A lot of you have been stumbling along and you think, oh, I'm just so weak. I just can't do it. That's true. You need now to just trust in the Lord, for He is able to keep you from falling. You're not able to keep yourself from falling. Ye dare not trust your own. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. You know, it's possible to get in a situation that is so desperate, you can't even think of the way out. You've exhausted everything. You've tried everything. You've maneuvered, you've manipulated, you've done everything. And when you call up, she still says, don't call me again. Slam. And you don't know what to do. You've had Romaine call her, you've had... You know, you've played the whole deck of cards. You've played every hand. Oh, that we would just turn it over to God and say, well, God, it's in your hands now. I can't do it. You see, that's the point where we get depressed.
Oh, I've tried everything, man. I don't know.
And we get depressed. And we're just so filled with anxiety. That's the point where you need to hope in God. Turn it over to God at this point. Let go of it. Turn over to God. So David had come to that point and he said, why are you cast down? Why am I cast down? Because I've been trying to do it myself. I've been trying to do it with my abilities, with my strength. And my strength is exhausted and it's not done. And so I get depressed. I get discouraged. But that is the place where I need to then put my hope in God. Hope in God. Redirect now your attention. Abraham's faith was marked by the fact that he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what He promised He was going to do. Now, God has given us some wonderful promises. Is God able to keep those promises? Well, of course God can keep those promises. Well, then why are you cast down? Why are you discouraged? Why are you depressed? It's because you haven't put your hope in God. It's because you're still struggling in yourself. You're still looking, you know, for that strength or reserve or whatever that might be there. And thus you are feeling the pressure, you're feeling the strain, and you're reaping the resultant anxiety and depression. Hope in God. For he said, "For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." This I know. As I put my trust in God and as I put the situation in God's hands, the final outcome will be good. For all things are working together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And the final chapter of this particular little vignette or episode in my life, the final chapter will be that of praising God. Now, I know that it looks bleak now. I know that it looks like there's no hope now. I know that it looks like it's just wiped out and there's nothing I can do and except get depressed and all upset. Or I can hope in God. Now, you get depressed and all upset, you're not gonna solve the situation. You may end up with others who will take advantage of your situation, and they'll keep you for a few weeks until your insurance runs out. Then they'll put you back out in the street, filled with Valium and other things, lithium, and you know. Or you can put your hope in, that's the ultimate, put your hope in God. And when you do, the final chapter is you'll be praising God for His victory, His work, His deliverance. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. So we pray. Father, we thank You that You are concerned with those things that have brought us under such pressure. Those things that have created that anxiety and that discouragement, that depression. And Lord, we thank You that You've just been patiently waiting there as we've been going through our machinations and gyrations, and as we've been trying to solve our problems and to figure things out and to manipulate this and to work that. And Lord, You've watched us as we've gone through our schemes, and You've seen the folly and the frailty of our own devices. And Lord, having exhausted ourselves, and things none the better, we turn them over to You today, that You might help, that You might take these situations, Lord, and begin to accomplish Your plan, Your way, Your will, as You deliver us from the enemy. As You provide for Your children. Lord, we thank You that as we place our hope in You, the ultimate result is praising You for the victory that You will bring to each who put their trust in You. Help us, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Living in the pressure kettle of our modern day society, I can really understand why people are alcoholics, why people are addicted to drugs. Why people would want to end their lives. I don't see how a person could exist in this society without these crutches. Unless he trusted in God. Yes, my faith in Jesus Christ is a crutch. Yes, God is a crutch. I lean on Him every day. If He weren't there to hold me up, I would fall. I'm not bashful about confessing that God is a crutch. Of course He is. He's never let me down either. He's a good crutch. I look at the crutches that other people use. The drugs, the alcohol, and these other crutches, and I see how they are letting them down. How they are destroying them. And I thank God for the crutch that I have. One that will never let me down. One who is always there to lean on. Some of you have been going through some real pressures of late. There's no sense of taking that home with you. The Bible says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room, just cast it all onto the Lord today, and just leave it right here. Don't take it with you. Just leave it here today. Say, Lord, I'm going to put my hope in You. I'm going to put the situation. You take care of it, Lord. I can't do anything about it. You take care of it. And just leave it here with the Lord. And you go your way singing and rejoicing because you're going to see God work. And the ultimate chapter is going to be, and they were praising God as they lived happily ever after. I shall yet praise Thee, for You are my help, my strength, my God. May the Lord be with you, and may this week you keep the proper focus on life. Rather than being pressured and allowing the pressure to get to you, learn to just turn it over to Him and put your hope in the Lord. I heard someone say, why pray when you can worry and get upset? Well, that's the way you want to live. I guess that's your problem. But, oh, to just take and get the right perspective. Hope thou in God. Put it into practice.
This is the end of this message. If you would like further information on any of our products or to receive our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.